Let's do our church reading for the day. Amen. Psalms 33. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 33. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen there. Okay? Let's start with verse 1. It says this: Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully a loud noise. 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Amen. 5. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 7. He gathers the waters of the sea together as in heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's a good verse right there about creation. Verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. Verse 14. From the place of his habitation he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 15. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. Verse 16. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them who fear him, upon them whose hope in his mercy. 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Verse 22. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for his mercy and grace upon our lives. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess everyone knows July 4th is around the corner, which is Friday, July 4th. It's more than just a day of being off of work. It's a day that we celebrate, if you want to say it that way, our independence. Declaring our independence on July 4th, and also commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. 1776. It says this: the Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies regarded themselves as a new nation, the United States of America, and were no longer part of the British Empire. Congress voted to declare independence 2 days earlier, which was on July 2nd, 1776. Have our barbecues and we have all that stuff going on, fireworks maybe, and that's nothing wrong with all that. You know, it just seems like for us, for me anyway, that when was there ever not a United States of America? It's like you just think of it like it's been here forever, you know. But that there was a start, that it was not here forever. And that God commanded this nation to come into being. You might say, you know, man, we have a lot wrong, but we have a lot right too. Okay? We're the only nation that prints more Bibles than any other nation in all the world put together. We print. Now, you might say, well, you know, do they print them? It may not be so much in America that it's, a lot of them are printed in America, but there's a lot of Bibles printed in other nations, but we're paying them to print those Bibles. You understand what I'm saying? Our greatest export is not our money being flown all over the world, which we kind of like, whatever, but it's our Bibles that are being printed throughout the world and sent throughout the world today. It is the number one seller in all the world. They don't even put it on the top 10 list or whatever of books anymore, because it is the best seller of all times, more than any other book. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we do that as a nation. God said he would bless a nation whose God is the Lord. And we surely have seen the blessings of a nation, our nation, like never before. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, I was thinking, you know, as I was reading all these anniversaries, you know, of many people in our church, and I like the way you said it. It was off by 2 days, you know, 20, 22nd, 24, 26, 28. And that's extraordinary. But, you know, to have and to hear all these couples that have been together for so long, you know, some of them, you know, they've been together longer than they were single. You know what I'm saying? Maybe living in their parents' homes. And how God has brought them together and has made them a great couple. Remember this, couples. Remember that your best friend should not be the man down the road or the woman down the road. Amen. But your best friend as a couple should be the person right next to you that you took a vow with. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know who I'm married. Well, I understand. But when God looks at you as a married couple, he looks at you as one. One. You should share your life, your disappointments, your high points in life, with that special person, and that's the only one. That person next to you, if it's your spouse, should be the only one that hears the great things that God is doing in that person's life. Should be the greatest cheerleader for your spouse. You should lift up your spouse to God every day. Because you see, this is what the devil wants to do, is bring division. Divide and conquer. Ooh. And so that's what he tries to divide a husband and a wife, so he can devour and destroy. Don't let that happen. Let that person be your best friend. I'm not saying you don't share things maybe with somebody, but the intimate things of your family and your marriage should stay between you and that person. Now, there may be certain circumstances where it has to be shared, whatever, but that's between y'all. But look, stay strong. If there's something that needs to be settled between you and your spouse, settle it. Get in a room and talk about it till you come to a settlement and agreement. You might say, Pastor, there'll be nothing left in that room. That's okay. Settle it. Because you see, it puts a barrier between you and your God when things aren't settled with this relationship here. And that's just with couples. But you know, single mothers and single fathers, we have so much of that now. And I know they go through many difficult times where they need God's help. And I know the father becomes their husband or whatever they need in life. Keep relying upon him. Keep relying upon him and let him do what needs to happen. But don't let couples be divided. Don't let that happen. Stay strong. Stay united. Stay in the forefront. Look, you might say, well, you don't understand my spouse. Well, I understand. Hey, look, but you took a vow to God. Till death do you part. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor, somebody's going to die soon. But that's okay. But you settle things and you get things done in your family. Keep it strong. Keep it united. Keep it united between. You know, July 4th is here, and that's just bar note. You know, I appreciate, and I know we can't go back in time, but I appreciate all the men and even women that have given so much to this country so that we can have freedom. Amen. Freedom. A land where we can do basically what we want. You know, a land where we're free, you know, that we could get up, you know, and come to church, you know, even though it's so hot outside, you know, it's a hot days. But at least we can get up and we can decide, well, I'm going to church and be with God's people. The freedom that we have, the freedom that we have to go the places where we want to go. And not limited by whatever this person or that person says. But we can do what we want to do. We can praise our God in the street if we want to. We can praise our God in our homes, in our workplaces. We can do those things. Thank you, Lord, for his liberty and freedom. But you know, someone else did, you know, that's just the physical liberation. But there was one person, his name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that came and liberated us spiritually from the bondage of sin and evil of this world. We were not only free physically, but we've been set free spiritually by Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I want to live in the old covenant. I wouldn't want that. My Lord. No. The new covenant with Jesus Christ, his blood, what he did at Calvary's cross, liberates the church. Liberates the church. Freedom. That we don't need a one person going up once a year to make intercession for us to the Father. But we have Jesus Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, who is giving us, who is praying for us and giving us freedom in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Ever increasing in our knowledge of God. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. And look, Barno, when things get tough in the family, you don't bail out. Say amen. Amen. I know you're listening. I just like to hear amen. That's okay. Don't bail out. Now you might, you know, and I'm not, as Christians, when things get tough, you keep on going. You keep on going and you look to God. You keep on going and you look to God. You might say, well, Pastor, I made some past mistakes. That's the past. Don't worry about that junk. Okay? Don't let the devil bombard you about the past. You see? Don't let him bombard you about the mistakes we've made in the past. Don't worry about it no more. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. We look now to our God who has given us liberty and freedom in him because of what Jesus did. We have been set free, thank you, Lord, from the bondage of sin, the thing that has entangled us in our minds and in our hearts. But God has given us freedom. Don't worry about the past anymore. And don't let the devil bring it up in your minds. Amen, amen, huh? Yeah. Amen, brother. What's that?
Let the past go.
Let it go. Don't let the enemy bring it up. And when it comes up, God says to think on things that are pure, holy, true, of good report. You get your word and you stand upon your word. And you say, devil, let me tell you what God says I am. And when you start quoting that word, you're taking the word of God, and it's like a two-edged sword that cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Don't let the enemy play on you. You're the child of a king now. You've been engrafted in the vine. You're by God Almighty. So you stand firm. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I fail? What if I go back and okay. Well, you go on. You know, I wanted to look at this verse. You're not going to have it, Joe. You might be able to look it up. Psalms 101, verse 3. And the reason I have to go back to this is because I told you a few weeks ago about this scripture. And in the blur of things, I couldn't go and get it. But this is verse 3. Ladies and men, listen to this. It says this. This was David speaking and write under the unction of the Holy Ghost. That means the anointing of God. That's all. That's just a fancy word. I mean, whatever. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them who turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Look this way. See this? Set no wicked thing before your eyes, people. Don't let it. It will destroy you and your family. Don't set it before your eyes. You might say, well, how do I look? And hey, look, we have so much news, right? I mean, things happen in a minute ago, we know about it. You know, you have to determine what is wicked and not good for you. Sometimes just the news is not good. It's like, turn it off. Ooh, I can't stand it anymore. You know, I'm tired of that. You know, don't set it before your eyes. So what you do is, if the devil tempts you in any way, you get this scripture and you say, this is what the word of God says. And Father, I will listen to your word because he's speaking to us. You see? And that's what we do. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Oh, my Lord. They overcame him in Revelation by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony. My Lord, the blood of the Lamb is Jesus, and the word of their testimony is the word of God. The word of their testimony. This is what God says we could do. Look, God wants you and I and everybody in the body of Christ free. Free. Not free from one thing, two things, everything. Free from the shackles of anything that tries to shackle you and hold you in bondage. Might say, well, Pastor, how do you do it? By a daily walk with your God. By putting your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Knowing you and I cannot overcome things. But I tell you, the God in us. I was reading a scripture, and we're going to read it. I probably need to read it. Talking about he is our Father. Abba, Father, my Lord. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Please bear with me. I'm just going different in a different direction, please. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Father, the Holy Spirit, loves you and I more than we ever can imagine. He wants us free from things that are holding us in bondage, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. He does not want us to serve the enemy, but he wants us to serve him and who he is, the King of Kings. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says this, to redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Abba, or Abba, Abba, Father, either one. Abba, Father, in the Greek means, amazing, it just means the Father, the Father. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you, which is the part of the Godhead? That's the part that can come, the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says the Father through the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. And now that Spirit is crying out to the Father, my Lord. Your Spirit inside of you, which is God's Spirit from the throne room of heaven, now lives inside of you and is crying out to your God. It says Jesus Christ is out in the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. We are not alone. The God that we have received as our Lord and Savior lives in us and is crying out to who? The Father on our behalf. Which, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, Christ is not his last name. You know, Jesus Christ. You know what Christ really it means? Listen to this. It means Messiah. Interesting. Messiah. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're meaning Jesus, the Messiah. Ooh. Makes you want. I thought a few of you would have shouted. Means the Messiah. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Father, lives in us, making intercession on our behalf. So whenever you think you're walking alone and nobody cares about you, and you think you're just out here by yourself, you know, people don't care, whoever doesn't care, whatever it is, always remember this, wherever you go, because you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Father through the Holy Spirit lives in you and is crying out to the Father on your behalf every day. Ooh. And the Father says, as we read in Scripture, that his ears are attentive to our prayers. It's coming from the Holy Ghost to the Father. He's attentive to the prayers of his people. That you're not alone, my God. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of everything in the world is here with you and for you and wants you to succeed in life. Amen. And yet the devil, I know it, he's out there trying to bring you down. Trying to make things come up in your life. But we have to remember this. God is in control. When something comes up and you know it's attacking you, remember God is in control. When something comes up from family, whatever it is, God is in control. God is in control of your life. You are His child. You have been born again. You have given your life to Him. And God is in control. Oh, my Lord. You can walk around not so much with pride and arrogance, but you can walk around with reliance upon your God saying, I know God is in control. I know God is in control. I know God is in control. My Lord. We can know it without a shadow of a doubt that He is in control no matter what's going on, that our God is moving. Thank you for your prayers for our president. God has really given him wisdom, showing him what to do. I tell you what, I didn't realize about the bombing last Sunday, but as I got home, I was able to look and see what happened. And let me tell you, that was brilliant. It's so good to have somebody brilliant in the Oval Office. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle any, but I tell you, it's so good. It's refreshing. You know, I know he has his failures here or there, whatever, but who doesn't? But I tell you what, keep praying. Keep praying for him. And you might say, well, how long will I pray? Just pray for him. Pray that God would give him wisdom, that he would surround him with men and women that really love God and know God. Here we see Jesus. Going back to, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, amen, chapter 1. Hope you're getting a little bit out of this. Amen. Praise God. People, I pray about these messages. I do. I mean, I'm not one just to like, oh Lord, let's just, you know, or get it from whatever. No. Pray and seek God. Because God knows what I need. And God knows what you need. And when we go to God and He commissions that message to be preached, it touches the hearts of people. Touches God. Touches the hearts of people. Like the Holy Spirit can only do. You ever been in a church service? Not here. Please don't say over here. I don't know. You might say, yeah, Pastor. And you walked out the same as you walked in? Yes. Not changed? Nothing. And hey, look, now, you know, and I'm not faulting the pastor or the church. Could have been us, though, you know. But, you know, we want to be changed. And I know your hearts. I know you love God with everything within you. Life is not easy at times. It's not. Trying to cut grass when it rains and pours down every day, more than once a day. You know, it's like you just look out and you're going, again? Yeah. You know? If you can walk outside with all the heat, okay, Lord, thank you. I was listening, y'all might have heard this about K-Love. And they were talking about the lady, she was, I think it was K-Love or 89.4, whatever it was. She was the announcer doing the stuff. And she said, you know, I moved from Oregon to Texas, like this year. So this is like her first year in Texas during the heat. She said, you know, in Oregon, man, I love camping. We'd go camping during the summer months and all that. She said, I learned that you can't go camping, not in a tent, whatever. She said, I was camping in Texas. She said it was so hot. She said they had brought cans of pop and stuff, and they had it cold. She said I would take cans of pop and put it under my arm just to try to get cool. She said, please. She said, I wish somebody would have came tell me just about how hot the summers are here. It's so different, you know. Every part of the country is different. And so, you know, hey, we have the heat, we go on. That's just how it is. I mean, hey, we had snow in January. You know, when I watch a show now and they're showing the blizzards and all that, I say, man, I lived through that. I know what it is. for 3-4 days. I know what it is. You know, man, we had 9 inches of snow, 8 inches, 7.5, 8, 9 inches of snow, depending. We know how it is. They laughing because they come from. Do I want to be a place in a live in a place where there's snow all the time? No. If I never see it again, that's great. But I loved it. It was really nice. Got off of work, got paid, not even going to work. Hey, look, what else can you do? We can't drive in snow. We can drive barely with great weather, you know. Praise God. We live in a great area. Thank you, Lord. But I tell you what, I don't need any more snow. I've gotten it out of my system. That's good. That's good. Praise God. Okay, Colossians, get back, y'all. Come on now. 1:10. Amen. Y'all are some great people. I tell you. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh, come on now. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All that scripture is great, but I want to concentrate a little bit on increasing in the knowledge of God. People, you are a Christian, a born again Christian. There's a difference between just a Christian, because everybody says they're Christian just about, than a born-again Christian. A born-again Christian has God living in them. And God is leading them and guiding them. We are to ever increase in our knowledge of Him. Increase your knowledge of Him. Get in this book, written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost like never before. No other book is like this book. That book that's on your lap or on your phone, whatever, there's no other one like it in the world. It's alive and well. How can this book be in every country in the world? And you know everybody speaks different languages, but yet speak to that person. And speak to them from the inside, where God, Abba Father, is crying out through the Holy Spirit unto Him on our behalf. Look, increase in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is. We need to know that He is the Messiah. Because you see, this book was written. I know it was, you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, basically, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And there are a few places in the Old Testament that was written in Aramaic, which is a totally different language. A little bit of Ezra, I think a little bit of Genesis, a little bit of few books. Not the whole book, just a few scriptures. But God knew what to write in this book. Let it change your life like never before. Let it produce the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. You see? When that fruit of the Word of God is in us, we will react when certain situation rises up in our lives. We will react the way the Word says to react. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've fallen short. Who hasn't? We can all wave our hand. That's okay. But then we get it and we get to know it, how God says to react, what to say, what to do, how to live. You know, if I got up here and I told you, you know, don't do this. Don't go to those places. Don't go to this place. Don't let your eyes see this. And I just It was like it becomes, now I know the word will say certain things and I got to read it and tell you. But if I say, listen to the God that lives in you. Let him show you where you should not go and where you should go and what you should do. He is your God. That's just like the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they had to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they had to go where those two things, where those two things went. They had to. We're the same way. We may not have a cloud in the sky that shows us, or a pillar of fire in the sky that shows us, but we have the King of Kings now inside of us that shows us the path for our lives. Shows us where we should go and what we should do, where we should live, what we should say, what we should do. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Who is? But let me tell you this. Go after a God who is perfect and who wants to lead us and guide us and wants to take us like a mother hen and gather under her feathers, who wants to protect and lead and guide. We have to grow in the knowledge, increase in the knowledge of God. I remember years ago, somebody came asking me a question. And this, and they're not here. I mean, they're not even here in this church. And I remember they asked me after church the question. And I remember I looked at them because they had been saved a long time. I knew them a long time ago. I knew what they were taught. And it baffled me about the coming of the Lord. It baffled me. Look, we don't know everything. But it baffled me because I found this was like a, you know how there are elementary things of God. You know, then you grow in the knowledge of God. You're growing in those things of God. It baffled me. We have to not stay with the elementary things of the Lord. How many times in the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that God would have Paul to come back and say, I need to tell you again. I need to repeat again about where your faith and your trust should be. Because we are so easily swayed at times. We have to have our feet upon the rock of Him. We need to get off sometimes of the elementary things of God. And those, that's the foundation. And we need to know it. And we have to have it firm. But we need to move on in the things of the Word of God. We need to know who God is. We need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Not just maybe, but He is the Son of God. He's the one that came and died upon Calvary's cross. And He's the one that liberated us and has given us freedom in the things of God. And He is the one that is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I keep saying, Lord, I don't know when you're going to come. You know, on that scenario. Because you see, we're looking at things from a man's point of view, mankind's point of view. And we're not looking at the church from God's point of view. Ooh. When God looks at us, He doesn't see so much us, but He sees the King that lives inside of us, that makes us without spot or wrinkle on the inside. That we have been liberated and we're free. It just needs to come out on the external. Ooh. You see, when you got saved, you were set free from every bondage of the enemy that he put upon your life from that time on. Amen. Now, it has to come into effect. Amen. in our hearts and in our lives on the physical fleshly realm, that we can see it and feel it. But what does the enemy see when he looks at you? He sees Jesus, the King, that is the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That's what he sees. That's what he's scared of. Not so much us, but the King that lives inside of us. You see? Growing in the knowledge of Christ. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, and we'll stop with that. Page 2056 might help. Hallelujah to the King, people. Don't ever put your eyes on mankind. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't look at the circumstances that are not changing. Don't look at the circumstances that are changing. Don't put your eyes on that stuff. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. And he will get you through every difficult situation, every problem, everything. Because he's King. He's come to liberate us. Look at verse 19. It says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." That's what Abba Father is trying to do in us. Form Christ in us. Him, that we would have his characteristics, that we would have his love, that we would see things the way our King sees it. Let him form in you him. Let us increase. Let us, and you know, when we talk about form, means his image, the image of Christ inside of us. Look, you might say, "Pastor, that's hard." I'm going to tell you, it's easy. It's easy. I'm going to be closing with this. It's easy. This is what you do. You say, "Lord, you know who I am." Might as well be honest, huh? Because he knows who we are. He knows everything you did last week. He knows every place we went. He knows what we did. He knows what we thought of. What we think. Everything about us. Despite all that, he loves us so much. He loves us so much. But what he's trying to do is form the image of his Son in us. This is what you do. You say, you raise your hands, whatever you want to do. And you say, "Father, I give you everything. I give you my life. I give you my talents. I give you my abilities. I give you everything. I submit my life to you." And as you do that, let me tell you, the Spirit of God that's here crying to the Father, Abba Father, the Messiah, will start to work and move. Some things are going to be easy. Some things are going to be hard. But always remember, as he's doing the surgery, he's forming you and loves you and cares about your life and who you are. And when you fall, you get right back up and you say, "Father, forgive me." Don't stay down. Don't stay down. Get up and say, "Lord, you see where I," you might as well be honest. Say, "Hey, Father, I failed you again in whatever situation God is you in." And you let him, you get things right with him, because thank God of his conviction. Thank you just think if we kept failing and failing and failing, and there was no conviction by the Holy Ghost, where would we be? So thank God for that. Means you're saved. God lives inside of you. And so you raise your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I submit my life to you. Whatever you want to do in me, help me to be the man of God or the woman of God you've called me to be. And you let him work. And you let him mend the fences. You let him work. And he might bring you to some places where you got to forgive some people. And it's not going to be easy. He never said it would be easy. But he knows what's best. We don't live by feelings. Because one day you might want to bless that person and the next day you want to beat them up. Amen. So we don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God. And you let him work that in you. Cleanse your soul before him. Oh, Lord, help me to be what you desire and want me to be. Lord, help me to be whole before you. Help me to seek you with everything within me. Get in that word. Seek him. Find out what it says, who you are in Christ. Find out what it says, how to live for God. Find out what it says to live as a man of God or a woman of God. Find out what he says and let God work. He works on us. Thank God. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Let us be molded into the image of our Lord and Savior.